We had a Nutella taste off.
A Nutella taste off?
Yeah, Blake went to Costco and we have an Italian student.
Oh, right.
And so he went and got Nutella and then he got the Kirkland version.
Oh.
And so we tested everybody, but also the Italian student. Could she tell which one was Nutella and which was the Kirkland?
And
yeah, our Italian student knew which one was Nutella. Jenny and I thought the Kirkland version was Nutella and we were wrong. But yeah, we had a Nutella taste off.
Refined Italian taste buds.
Yeah. So mom and dad, be proud. Gaia knew which one was Nutella. But yeah, that was our dessert, was the Nutella taste off.
Hello, and welcome to The Homestay Kitchen with me, Mary Chan, and Aaron Eastman. This is a podcast where we serve up stories of being a homestay family, the ups and downs of making a connection with international homestay students. We'll bring a plate full of stories, ideas, interviews, and hopefully dish up some anecdotes to share with our community. Being a homestay parent comes with many challenges and rewards. If you are new to hosting or considering taking on this gratifying experience, you'll want to listen to our chat with seasoned host parent Jody Joel. Jody has great tips for new homestay families about not overthinking it and how a joke can go a long way in settling in with your new student. She also shares how hosting students can have different choices based on your lifestyle. As she reminisces about her past students when she had little kids of her own, to the present, transitioning to hosting while living on her own. It was such a joy to talk to Jody as she shared her know-how of hosting students since the early 2000s.
Hi, Erin.
Hi, Mary.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm well, thank you.
You are good. You've had a busy one.
I'm wearing my cape this morning. It's like
super mom cape.
I'm wearing my super mom cape. Not a cake. Cape. It's one of those days.
Well, we are here also with Jody.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Jody.
And when you said that you were wearing your superhero cape, I immediately thought of her because she likes to have a full house of everybody.
Yes, I sure do. Always like the full house.
So tell us a little bit about your household, including your students and the history of hosting international students.
At the moment, I actually have an empty house. I'm empty nester, hoping to host students again soon. But when I was hosting students, I had three children of my own. My youngest was two, and then I guess 5 years older than that and 2 years older than that. So they were quite young. I always like to have lots of kids in the house and a lot of things happening. My entire life, I babysat kids, so I like to have kids all the time. We had empty beds, so we said we would host students, and we enjoyed every minute of it. And we had a lot of them in I think, 13 years we did it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time.
You must have a lot of stories to share.
If I can remember them. We had a lot of students. Sometimes we would have one. Sometimes we would be lucky enough to have three. Sometimes four. There was every once in a while, there was an overlap, especially in the summer when there's short-term programs going on. We loved it a lot. And so we've never hosted a male. We always had female students. Yeah.
Was that a preference or a reason behind that?
Well, it was only because we had children and we just assumed that girls were a little more tolerant of children.
Yeah.
So, except one time we had a mother and a child, a boy, Yoichi from Japan. And we had them for a whole year. And I had gone to the principal at my kid's school to see if he could be enrolled there. And he was. So we had them for a year. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was awesome. Yeah. And they came back for a visit. He came back. He was 6 years old at the time, grade one at Frank Hobbs. Then he came back, I think about, I don't know, he was 15 when he came back for a visit in the summer. It was really nice.
Wow. What was that experience like parenting alongside another parent?
It was great. They were down in a sort of a suite in the basement that we had. But it was full homestay for both of them. It was good. His mom, Satoko, went to a language school in downtown Victoria. And I took him to school every morning with my kids and picked him up every day. And so that was good for her. And you know, it was nice to have another, almost my own, like my own child in the house because he was, you know, with them all the time. So that was good. Enjoyed that very much.
So a very busy and full household. It sounds a lot like mine with all of these kids and activities.
Yeah, you have three as well.
Three
right?
kids as yeah, well so. And all of the kids and the students. How did you come into hosting? How did you begin?
Oh, I don't actually remember. I think my husband was a teacher. We realized that there was such thing as homestay students. Then I thought, I don't really think I want children with me or teenagers. I didn't really want the responsibility of someone who I needed to be responsible for. Yes. So we always, apart from in the summer, we always hosted adults. So, you know, 19, 20, 21. Mm-hmm. So from the language schools
too.
Downtown.
Yes,
yeah.
That's how
it's
I started.
It's like putting your toe in the water,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. it's a very safe way to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've had a student as old as 50 something, or maybe she was 60 something. I don't remember. She was just with us for, I think, a week or two in the summer. And we've actually had a little girl as young as 9.
Oh, really?
Which was shocking to me. And I think I had a sad face every time I was looking at her because I couldn't imagine, yeah. you know, having your
yeah,
9-year-old go
exactly.
anywhere. I mean, you know, my kids probably wouldn't have gone anywhere at 15 across the ocean, but she,
yeah.
I can't remember where she, I think she was Korean. Yeah. She was sweet. She talked up a storm. And
how long was she
so
there
independent.
For?
She was only with us probably for maybe a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
I should have written it all down. I don't
yeah.
remember, but
well, you've been hosting
when they were short. Yeah.
Since 2000.
So 2000 to like, about 2013 or 14, yeah.
yeah. So that's a lot of people to go through that memory.
Yeah, it was. And we had a student from Brazil. She spent her 18th birthday with us. And she just came with her fiance last summer to visit. So
oh, wow.
it was really nice, really nice.
So how often have you had students come back to visit you?
Actually, only about 3 times. And a few sent letters saying that they would like to visit and they were more than welcome, but they didn't show up. But,
yes, yeah.
You know, life gets busy.
Yeah.
But I did also have a homestay. She would be the chaperone for anywhere from 30 to 65 students from Ecuador, Veronica, and she would come every year. I was lucky enough to be her homestay parent mother, host.
Peer, yeah.
She was in, I think she was in her 50s when she first came. And she came with her daughter the first time because there was so many kids, they needed 2 chaperones. And they went to a language school downtown because in Ecuador, their summer is in March, April. Something like that. Mm-hmm. So they have their 2 months off. And so she would bring so many students and they were so much fun. They're rather loud at times because they're boisterous and happy and huggy. And I just loved having them. So we had Veronica and usually another chaperone. So the two of them would stay with us for the 2 months. Every year I had her for, it must have been 8 years, like a long time. We're really good friends.
Wow.
And, I know. It's wonderful. So she hasn't been with us for, they stopped doing that program, I guess about maybe 5 years ago. And so I miss her, but she, you know, we see each other on Facebook all the time. She would always ask me if I would host a year-end party for the girls in the group. So there was often maybe 25 girls at my house on the last day or two of their stay.
Wow.
And sometimes if they were missing their own foods from home, they wanted to cook plantains or make up something, and she would ask if maybe some of them could come after school and cook. And I said, absolutely, awesome. So I got to try what they were making, and sometimes, you know, a dozen students would show up to cook something. It was great. It was like they would come in this whirlwind and they were loud and happy and boisterous, and then all of a sudden they would go. And I just loved it. It was great.
What was your favorite dish that a student has made for you?
Actually, I think it would probably be Satoko from Japan, and her husband Tomohiro came to visit, and he brought a suitcase full of foods.
Oh, wow.
And I wasn't as keen on the bean curd. It was very scary, but they brought some, it's called but it's Japanese curry. Glico.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I grew up eating that.
I love Glico. It's awesome. I've turned a lot of people onto it.
Yeah, there's just like little curry cubes that mm-hmm. you can add meat and some vegetables and instant meal.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite. But Sotoko taught me how to make sushi. Also, someone else, I can't remember, taught me how to make dumplings. So my kids and I would sometimes, we would make up the dumpling mix, and then, you know, my kids would sit like a little assembly line and we'd just do that. And then we'd, you know, freeze two or three trays of dumplings. And yeah, it was awesome.
That's what we used to do growing up, because my mom immigrated from Hong Kong. And so she grew up doing that. And when on the weekends, she would have the assembly line of my brother, sister, and me with our little wrappers and fill them all up and freeze them. And then you can have them as make some instant noodle soup and add some dumplings on there. Yeah, oh, so delicious. Good. So then what has been some challenges by hosting all these students after all these years? What are some of the bigger challenges that you've had to face?
Miscommunication sometimes. The challenge is keeping my kids quiet when the students were
trying to study
in the rooms. And also, funny enough, I did have, it wasn't a problem, but you could see it in the air, a Japanese student and a Korean student in the house at the same time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes because there's actually an animosity somewhere.
The history of Japan and Korea, the wars.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that. So most of my students, there was no problem, but just two at one time, I thought, oh, I didn't know that. So maybe I should read up on history.
Yeah, was that something that came about as the two students were talking? Or how did
I think
you
at the dinner table one night, I can't remember. I think it was actually Sotoko. She was there with her son, Yuichi. I can't remember what I didn't realize, but there was a little bit of a discussion at the table. And I thought, I had no idea. Who knew?
Was there tension?
Just a little bit, but it went away because, you know, we sort of just talked through it and made light of whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. That was probably, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
And what about for all the miscommunication? Because I know that happens a lot in our households too. What are some examples of some miscommunication that you've had?
Sometimes with different foods. My students actually, with food, my students would often leave a little heavier than they arrived.
That's pretty common.
Absolutely. And I know it was a big joke in our house for a very long time that I would just fatten up my students if I liked their pants because they leave them behind.
I've got lot of pants left behind. I've been wearing
So you kind of go, oh, I'll put a little extra fat in that meal. I like those pants.
Your suitcase needs a little more room. Yeah. Here, I'll buy you some more gifts.
So, we've had way less miscommunication than we had laughs. And so, I've always had a great time with students. Really enjoyed them. And can't wait to do it again.
Why did you decide to stop and then now restart again?
Well, I stopped, I think, because my kids got older and I got busy doing other things. Mm-hmm. And actually, we were only hosting for the Ecuadorian students for a couple years. And then they quit the program. And then I just sort of went away from it. And I would love to do it again. So once I sort myself out in my living arrangements at the moment, I will, for sure.
I see you have here a beautiful book of
memories.
Memories.
My memory book.
Some of your most memories.
Yeah. I couldn't count the amount of students we had. But, you know, reading back over some of the letters and messages that they've left me, I see that I must have done a good job. I didn't realize it, right? You know, I always hope you are. But just, and some of the thank yous that they sent, they're not just a sort of a blanket thank you. It's actually memories and tears when they leave and you don't realize what a good job you were doing. They feel it. When you want them there and you like them, they know it. They feel it. You know, they are sad to leave. One thing they're also sad to leave is the fresh air. I hear a lot about that.
Yes. Yeah. That, you have such clean air and big trees
all
here.
All the trees.
Yeah. When you ask them, what is it that you will miss? And they say the fresh air and feeling safe downtown too. because my students were always older, usually 20 and above, they felt free and safe downtown in the evening after, you know, maybe up till 9 o'clock or wherever when they would come back. And that was nice to know because I didn't realize that some people lived in places that didn't feel so safe. Through their eyes, you can see just how beautiful and it is here and how lucky we are.
Yeah, we take all of that for granted because we just live it day to day.
Yeah, that's right.
Which student did you have the hardest time saying goodbye to?
Maybe Leticia from Brazil. She was so sweet and her family's so nice, but she did come back to visit. So that was nice. She came last summer with her fiance. Aww. And then I see through Facebook that they're married and every picture, everything, you're love, love, love.
Why was it so hard to say goodbye to her?
Because she was just so sweet and she did look up to me like a mother. She was 17 when she arrived and I think she was only with us for a couple months. And her father would phone and say thank you. And they were just so nice, you know. Well, they were all nice. Yeah, I really took a shine to her.
Were there any scenarios where, I mean, it's happened to me where you think, I can't wait for the student to go? Like, this just wasn't a good match for us. Have you had that?
Yeah, I had a couple of those.
And what made it so difficult?
I don't know. Some students, they just arrive. I don't, maybe with some sort of an attitude that you don't understand. Maybe they've been catered to so much for their whole life that, I don't know. They're just, one was kind of rude and she was only there for a short time. And luckily she was going to a different homestay. So I felt bad for them, but not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all short term anyhow, even if they're there for a year. There's always an end. Yep. There's always an end. But we didn't have too many problems. But I heard of some. Yeah, I had a couple issues with homestay parents more than.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, one time some kids from Ecuador, they were staying in a homestay and two boys. And the homestay parent had been telling the parents in Ecuador that they had jumped on the bed and they had ruined the wall and she had to replace and redo the whole wall and all of this big kerfuffle. And so Veronica, the lady who was always with me, she asked me if I would go and help the situation and see what was going on. So I did go over there and there was just a line on the wall. And it sometimes, you know, I said, well, you know, you got to show me where the problem is because mm-hmm. these parents, you're going to be getting a few hundred dollars from these parents for something that I would like to see what the problem is. And there wasn't actually even a problem, maybe a little bit of paint. But my problem was that these two boys, I mean, you could see it on their face. They felt like crying. They were probably 15 years old, 16 maybe, but their whole trip was going to be ruined by this
one episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I felt sick about it. So I ended up telling the mom that that's not right. Those weren't the words.
Yeah.
But you have to, I came across, because I had the chaperone in my home, I saw that there was a few episodes with homestay parents as well. So
mm-hmm. you had to advocate for those students.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because sometimes, you know, I don't want, I could imagine having my entire trip ruined by one situation that was maybe a misunderstanding or whatever. And so you look through the students' eyes and you have to help them.
You don't want them or their family being taken advantage of because somebody sees an opportunity.
That was absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That was exactly the situation. Yeah. And not only that, it was the look on the boys' faces and they were just so grateful and, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, they were just having fun. There wasn't any damage done.
No.
Probably something that a magic eraser, if not even paint, but a magic eraser could solve. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that I was called upon.
Oh, thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're mm-hmm. welcome.
Yeah. And that's why we want to have these conversations too. We want to highlight the fact that there are situations like this happening, but let's get some great homestay families out there and help these kids because these kids are going to be, well, not necessarily kids either, like the adults that we host, you know, like there's lots of miscommunication too. And these people are people. Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need to.
It's going to stick with them if it's a bad thing. It's going to. I know years ago when we had Yoichi and his mom, and I had a phone call. I wasn't going to host a mom and a son, but I had a phone call and it was a bit of an emergency. Could I take this mom and son? And they were out when they arrived. They'd only been here for 2 days and they had been accepted by homestay. I asked the principal at the school and he said, yes, that he could, we could enroll him there. But they had arrived and the lady who, or the parents or the hosting family, they were very strange. It sounded very strange. They didn't want to feed her. They didn't want to talk to her. It sounded like these people should never host. They made her feel so uncomfortable. My stomach was sick for her that she had to leave that place. And I thought, well, she wants to go back to Japan. I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it was terrible. And so I spent a day or so just sorting things out. Luckily, we had space downstairs and a suite in the basement.
Yeah.
So they were able to stay there and they were so grateful. And it was one of our most memorable sort of students that came.
So what did you do to put her mind at ease now that she's had this negative experience?
I know. When she first arrived, actually it was the homestay family that dropped her off, I think. I looked at her and I was just like, oh, are you okay? I wanted her to know right away that I knew that things were not good. I wanted her to be able to talk about it and reassure her that things will be fine, I promise. By the time you leave, you will be happy. And she was. And they came back. So, yeah. And her husband came for a visit a couple times because they were there for a whole year.
So what's some of your favorite memories there from that binder?
I guess the longer a student would stay, you know, the more memories you have. Yeah. So there's no real favorites. It's just that you get to know them better, right? Also, we had a student from Switzerland, Ketja. She was a lot of fun. She was only with us for a short time. The school that she went to, they were having a costume contest. So I thought, oh, yeah. So I went in the crawl space and got costumes out. And I can't remember if she, I had Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf. So I think she was the Big Bad Wolf because I remember putting some makeup on her. And she came back, she won the contest. So that was awesome.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Yeah. So I have a huge binder and it's not quite full, but almost. Not a binder, it's a scrapbook. Oh, we also had a mom and her two little girls from Japan.
Oh,
that
wow.
That came and they were so cute. That was nice. It was the summer, so my kids were off school. Actually, it was the mom that was going up to UVic. So she had the two little girls were going to the UVic daycare because they were just little.
I can't imagine what it would be like to come to a foreign country with two young daughters like that. Like,
I know.
She must have been so courageous.
Yes. Yeah.
And you had children at the time. So what yes. ages were your children when these girls were here?
I'm not sure.
My
kids were all a little older.
Yeah. They would have had playmates, right?
So exactly.
Your children, I would imagine, were on board for hosting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had lots of fun and lots of noise in the house all the time. My house had been renovated, so the center is open. There's just a fireplace in the middle. Mm. And so sometimes we would have the dog and the skateboard and somebody would have rollerblades on. And the music would be rather loud.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they would be going all the way around. And I would sit on the stairs and film it and laugh because it was hilarious. A little train of students and kids and the dog at the end pulling on someone, right, as they're going around. So our hardwood floors need to be redone, but that's okay.
And would you host year round, like holidays? And
oh, yeah. Of course, they would go home at Christmas. Some students, right, if they were there for a long time. But it was nice to have them there for Christmas too. Yeah, all events, birthdays, everything. It was always a big thing.
So what would you do to help celebrate these big events?
Decorate and make a special meal. I know at Valentine's, we would always have, I'd always have something that was centered around whatever event it was in the center of the table. And we always had pink food at Valentine's. Oh. Come to think of it. I mean, you know, a little drop of red food coloring in mashed potatoes. And then at on St. Patrick's Day, the food was all green, which wasn't always really nice.
I had a friend who did that too. She would actually put green food dye in the toilet bowls.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, we should
never
do that.
Thought about that.
Oh, we totally have to do
that's
that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing also with my students, they They didn't know what gravy was, so I would ask them, you know, if they wanted gravy, because I would always roast chicken or beef or whatever, pork. And they didn't know what it was, so I said, it's meat sauce.
Yeah.
Meat sauce, because you know the word sauce, and so it's meat sauce. And they were a little hesitant, and then they always wanted more.
Yeah.
I make a really good gravy. Hence the weight and the pants left behind.
So now that you said that you're looking to host again, would you do anything different from before?
I think that this time around, I like to make it easy. So I would probably take them, drive them to, so that it's easier to hook up with the bus in the morning. You know, just little, because I don't have my own kids at home, I would be able to cater more, right?
Right. Yeah.
But I think that I would only take adults again. I don't think I would take high school students. Just because a little more freedom for me now that my kids are not at home. But, you know, my memories, like when your kids have left home, you start remembering all the nice things. And there's always students sprinkled all through all of it, which is really nice. You know, my kids, if we start talking about it and they start laughing and going on about something. And, I know my daughter, she loved horror movies, which I didn't realize until a little bit later. But she told me she was probably about maybe 5 years old, and she snuck up under one of the beds of the students. The door was open, and they were watching Chucky.
Oh my gosh.
I wondered why she wanted Chucky dolls at Christmas and stuff. I thought I would have been terrified, but it's true. So, yeah, she snuck under and did that. So that was one of her memories for sure. And, of course, all the female students always loved my son. He was always very sweet. The Ecuadorian students. He would walk through at 10 years old and they'd go, "Oh, Armand," and they'd all call him over. They were so sweet.
What advice would you give or have for any homestay parents just starting out?
Don't take it too seriously. Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
to have fun. Because then you're a little nervous. Anybody can sense that you're nervous, which then makes them nervous. So don't overthink it.
What are some creative ways to get your students to open up and get out of their shyness? Because I have that happen a lot where, especially I find more with the Asian students, they study too much. Yeah. They don't want to leave the house because their, you know, nose is in a book, or they're just too shy to even use their English with you. So what are some techniques that you've used to get them out of their shell?
I don't think I've had too many really shy students. I've had a few that are very serious about their studies. Mm-hmm. So you just have to sort of respect that. But we're always laughing and joking in the house, and they will join in once they feel comfortable. If it's not their personality, sometimes it's awkward for them. So you just make them feel as comfortable as possible. And as I say, don't overthink it, because then they can sense that it becomes uncomfortable. You just welcome them and ask them if they want to go do something with you. And if they don't, it's not a good idea to push it, because mm-hmm. people need to be in their comfort zone. They're already not in their comfort zone because they're not in their own country and they're not in their own room. A joke goes a long way. Or just being silly, right?
Yeah.
Goes a long way.
Yeah. Aaron's good at that.
Oh, yeah. Often make them laugh at me. Tell them a silly story about something that happened to me at Walmart, where, you know, I was caught talking to myself and somebody took three steps sideways.
And also a tip for lunches and things like that. I would make like 8 lunches at nighttime, right?
And what would you make? Like sandwiches?
Sandwiches. Or I always had, of course, noodle soup. Like the hot one.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so those were always available. So you just sort of leave sandwiches and leave cookies and you leave fruit and everything and bags on the counter. I have a huge island and I would leave everything all made, but not put it in the bag.
Okay.
So that they could take what they wanted.
Right.
Because other than that, they would just waste it, throw it out, because they would go to McDonald's with their friends for lunch, right? I just didn't want food to be wasted.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them to feel bad wasting it. So that's like, don't overthink it. Don't put so many things in a bag because half of it might not be eaten. Like maybe the whole time they're there and they're too, they don't want to offend you to say that they don't like that.
Did you start making lunches one way and evolve into what you've done now? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I would make lunches like with my kids and put the fruit and the cookie and the sandwich and the drink or whatever my kids were taking. So I would just do that, like a assembly line of all of that. And then I went, wait a minute, sometimes I see the sandwich coming back. And so maybe they don't, you get to know whether they like tuna or they don't, or right, they like yeah. cheese or whatever they do like. Leave a you know, stack of sandwiches in it, and then they can just grab whatever pieces that they want before they literally run out the door.
Yeah. So you're treating them like your own kids. You're doing your own kids' lunches. So of course you're going to do them for their students.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I always did that. Yeah. Breakfast was always, apart from the weekend, I would make pancakes or eggs and stuff like that. But during the week, there's cereal, there's toast, whatever you want to grab yourself. It's all available. It's all on the counter. I guess maybe that's why I had a huge island in the middle of the kitchen.
Yes.
And you just grab what you want. And if you got up too late, I didn't like to make things too formal. So, you know, if you normally with your family sit down for breakfast together on a school morning, bless you. For one thing. Yeah. And I didn't want them to feel obligated or anything.
Yeah. That's what we do too.
They're all in their 20s, like 20 or 19, 20 up. So.
No. Yeah. That's the same with our household. Like, again, most of our students are adults. We always have a little island in the back too. And we say, anything here? Yep. Is for the taking. Eat it whenever you want, bring it for snacks. And it's just so easy for us too, where we don't have to cater to their every need and whim.
Exactly.
It's just too stressful and too much work on our part, but we do make big elaborate dinners.
Yeah. We always sat down for dinner together. We were fortunate enough to be able to do that. I was a stay-at-home mom, so I was lucky to be able to do that. Mm. So we always had dinner together. Yeah. So the students appreciated that as well.
And do you find that at the dinner table is where you have your best conversations? Because it is for Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that the kids mostly did it.
Yeah.
You know, because the kids are nattering back and forth. Then you just sort of, you know, hook the student in to the conversation with a question. And you just go from there. Kids are marvelous when it comes to students. They get them going. Whereas if it was just two adults, might be a little stiff. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Because I hosted before I had my 3-year-old. Now that I have the 3-year-old and she's quite the talker, it's so, so different. And it is easier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now I'm thinking, I'm going to have to get some kids before I
But too, like, I do think it's easier when you are hosting more than one student. Do you find that when you have more than one student and then they can have, and if they're going to school together too, and you can learn so much more about what's going on. And
And of course, you're not supposed to, unless under certain circumstance, you shouldn't have two of the same language.
Yes.
Right.
That's usually the rules.
Which you understand. So it is wonderful to watch them communicate in English together, right?
Yeah.
It's great. I wish there was so much. I was thinking about that today, that if there was Facebook back then, at least I could be in touch with those students, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you never see them again, you see what's going on sometimes, right?
Have you gone back? I know you have your book and their names, but to look them up through Facebook to see if you can find all of these students.
No, I haven't gotten that far.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yes, actually, yeah. No, it's a good idea. I'm nervous about trying to find the students from Korea, though, because everybody's last name is Kim.
I know. I do know because my nanny as a baby was Mrs. Kim.
Because we are the Homestay Kitchen, and just like all the stories you've talked about, having all your stories usually wrap around food, what were some of your favorite dishes to make for students?
Roast chicken, because often, like in Japan, I think, I don't know if it's changed because the world changes quickly. When I took Satoko to the grocery store, she had never seen a full chicken, like a full-size chicken, like a whole chicken. She said they were only in pieces in Japan. It was shocking to me that...
Oh, I didn't know that. Did you?
I know.
I think I've experienced that,
too. Oh, wow. Yeah. This was, of course, this was in 2000. I can't remember, what did I say, 2 or something.
Yeah.
Oh, and to get a huge thing of ketchup was shocking to her. It was fun to take her to Costco because everything is big in there, of course, right? And everything in Japan it was really small in the first place. So this was like extra, extra big, right?
Yeah.
But no, food, yes. Roast, because they didn't know what gravy was. And I always knew it. I made a mean gravy.
That's your specialty.
Yeah, they love the gravy. Back for more and more. And I thought, I shouldn't have let them know. There's no gravy left.
You didn't make a double batch.
Exactly. But yeah, stuff like that. Things that I knew that they didn't have a lot. I make a lot of Indian food, and I make Greek, and I make Chinese, and I'm not a bad cook. So
I'm sure they love food.
Yeah. They just love the food. And there's nothing better than sitting around, and you can't be unhappy around a good meal.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for dropping by on the show and having this conversation with us and sharing these stories.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
I can't wait to get some new memories of students.
Yeah.
Again,
good luck with
thank you.
The future students that you're going to have.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Homestay Kitchen, hosted by Mary Chan and Aaron Eastman. Produced by me, Mary Chan of Organized Sound Productions. Web and show notes by Aaron Eastman. Like what you're hearing? Write us a review wherever you listen. Or drop us an email at homestaykitchen@gmail.com. We would really appreciate it. For more information on this episode, visit homestaykitchen.com. And when you're ready to dish up your stories, connect with us on Instagram @homestaykitchen or on Facebook. Thanks for joining us.